I want you to get your Bible today, and I want you to turn to Acts chapter number 14. Acts chapter 14, and we're going to look at a passage of Scripture here, and then I'll read to you yet another. Once you find Acts chapter 14, would you stand with me, please? Acts chapter number 14. Young people, I don't want you to interrupt the service. And for the sake of some of the young people, let me explain. When the preacher's preaching, and what you're actually supposed to do is you're to be listening. It's not a time to have conversation. It's not social time. It's not a time to look at your telephone and to play and mess around with the people around you, but you're concentrating on the preaching. And so, young people, if you'll do that, you'll be appropriate in church. And I certainly think that's what, obviously, that's what we all want to be. Acts chapter 14. Look at verse number 14. The Bible says this: which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you." Notice that. Paul, Barnabas, and the apostles said to a group of people, "We all have like passions." Now, I want you to turn to one other passage of Scripture, if you will. Turn to James chapter number 5. James chapter 5. Do it real quickly. James chapter 5. They said, "We are people of like passions." James chapter 5, find verse number 17. James chapter 5, verse number 17, and the Bible says this: Elias, who, so you know, that is a spelling for, if you will, Elijah. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Notice again, it says here of Elijah, he was a man subject to like passions as we are. The sermon this morning is called "Subject to Like Passions as We." Subject to like passions as we. And let's pray. Father, please, today, this is not just an assembly of people who have come together for a social purpose. This is a group of God's people that have come together to get something from the God of the universe. May we put aside the other thoughts in our minds and concentrate on the Bible. Lord, minimize the interruptions. Maximize our attention. Holy Ghost of God, reach down and help somebody very, very deeply and very spiritually today with the sermon. Lord, may this day be supernatural because we heard from heaven, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice here, the Bible tells us that the apostles, Paul and Barnabas, said, "Hey, we're of like passions." Then it said that Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we. Now, I have to tell you something. That statement encourages me. Elijah was a man who prayed down fire from heaven to consume a water-soaked sacrifice, and yet God said Elijah was subject to the same temptations as me and you. When it's talking about passions, it means Elijah, he faced some of the same things in life that I face. He has some of the same temptations in life that I face. He has some of the same burdens in life that I have. But it said that Elijah, who prayed down fire from the sky, is also a man just like me and just like you. He had the same passions. He had some of the same weaknesses. He had some of the same fears. He had some of the same troubles. In other words, Elijah was a man that put his pants on just like you and I, men, one leg at a time. He had some of the same temptations that I have. He had some of the same apprehensions that I would have. He had the same flesh with which to deal as you and I. The Bible tells us that Elijah prayed that it would not rain, and it did not rain for 3.5 years. What a powerful prayer. Then, after 3.5 years of drought, Elijah prayed that it would rain again, and it did. And then God said about Elijah, He said, now, human race, Elijah was a man just like you. I'll tell you where we make a mistake, folks. We look at people in the Bible and somehow we think that God turned them into superpowers. And therefore, you say, ah, that was Elijah. Oh, well, no wonder that was Noah. And some, you know, Moses does something and you say, yeah, but it was Moses. Well, let me explain. Moses was a man and Elijah was a man. Just like you and I. And that's why God says in James 5:17, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. There's another verse in the Bible that kind of teaches this same thing that we see in James 5:17 about Elijah and that we read from Acts 14, verse 15, the apostles and Barnabas and Paul. Listen to this verse. It says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now notice there, the Bible tells us, there's no temptation, but such as is common to man. Now remember the verse, Elijah was subject to like passions as we are. The apostle said, we have like passions as you do. Paul said, I have like passions as you do. Barnabas said, I have like passions as you do. Now the word temptation there from 1 Corinthians 10:13, it's basically the word testing, challenge, if you will. Meaning there's no testing you face that is uncommon to everybody else. But we get to looking at what we're going through and we think we're the only one. But God said, you're not the only one. People have been through that before. They'll go through that again. As a matter of fact, there are people everywhere going through it right now. The load you carry, others carry. The mountain you climb, you're not the only mountain climber. The burden you bear, you're not the only one bearing it. Even Jesus, remember, He came born into the body of a man. So He could experience what we experience. So He didn't say, you can do it. And you say, yeah, you're God. He said, no, I did it as a man. I did it as a man. He was the God-man. But Hebrews 4:15 says this about Jesus Christ. For we have not an high priest, that is in reference to Jesus Christ. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, tested, challenged, like we are. Oh, and I'm glad it says, yet without sin. In other words, Jesus said, I went through the kind of testing you went through, and I went through it and kept a good attitude. He said, it's doable. I'm not asking you to do something that you cannot do. You know, I got to tell you something, folks. It encourages me to know that I must not face anything that others have not faced and God's seen them through it. And if God can see them through it, then God can see me through it. And if God helped them through it, God can help me through it. And if they can do it and keep a good attitude, I can do it and keep a good attitude. And you say, yeah, well, you know, Jesus was God. Yes, He was, but this was Jesus as a man speaking. And just in case you say, yeah, but it was Jesus, okay, but Moses wasn't Jesus, and Noah wasn't Jesus, and Elijah wasn't Jesus. These were men. Men just like you and I. Hey, God uses man. He uses weak man, for which I am grateful. He even states He uses the weak things to confound the wise. In 1 Corinthians 1:27, He says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. You know what? I can't figure out why God would use Jeff Owens and what little use he gets out of me, but God may be using weak little old Jeff Owens to confound the stronger worldly wise. They all look at me and say, I can't believe God uses that knucklehead. And I'm thinking, I agree. I agree. If you're confounded, so am I. But nah. That's in the Hebrew. It's like sticking your tongue out. Hey, I think, isn't it encouraging that the Apostle Paul said, I face the same stuff you face. That's what he said. Isn't it encouraging that Barnabas, one of the greatest missionaries in history, said, folks, I face some of the same things you face. The apostles that were there in Acts chapter 14, they said, I face some of the same things you face. And then it is said of Elijah, said, this Elijah that called fire down from the sky, that was not a supernatural being. That was a guy that woke up one morning, had a cup of coffee, put his pants on just like everybody else, and faced the same type temptations that you face. But he went on and had victory. And he was used of God. I got to thinking about this. If I could for just a little while, I want to describe some Bible characters who have like passions as to you and I, like temptations as you and I, like challenges as you and I. Now, I'm going to call the roll some of the Bible powerhouses. You're going to see they went through some of the same temptations we go through, but they went on and were used of God. For instance, Elijah had a like passion, if you will, of depression. Depression. You know, Elijah was a powerful man of God. And on Mount Carmel, many of you know the story. I can't go into it, but briefly, on Mount Carmel, he prays down fire from the sky. He kills 450 false prophets. He outruns a chariot on foot. And then a wicked queen named Jezebel puts out a contract on his life. Now, let me show you. This Elijah, I mean, he prayed down fire from the sky. Now, let me show you what happened when this Jezebel put the contract out on his life. 1 Kings 19:4 says, but he himself went a day's journey. This is speaking of Elijah. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. The great, mighty, powerful prayer warrior Elijah, who could call fire down from the sky, also had a brush with some pretty struggling depression to the point where he said, I want to die. But he didn't stay there. You say, well, I could serve God if I didn't face some of these challenges. Elijah did. And you say, well, I struggle with depression. So did Elijah. But he could still call down fire from the sky. He said, but that was Elijah. Elijah's just like you. Just like you. That's what it means. Like passions. Moses, what a powerhouse. Moses had a like passion, temptation, challenge, a mountain to climb. He had a temper issue. Moses was the Old Testament's ultimate leader. He was leading as many as 3 million people through the wilderness. And you think you got it tough taking 3 kids to the grocery store. He's leading 3 million people through the wilderness. They came to the desert of Zin. They had no water. And the people began to turn on Moses. They said, we're going to die out here. We don't have any water. We don't have any food. And God said, Moses, take your staff, go over to that rock and speak to the rock and I'll give you water. And Moses took his stick and he threw him a Baptist fit. He took his stick and he started beating the rock. And I'm sure God's up there going, I told you to talk to the rock. Why are you beating the rock? Well, I'm mad. That's what he did. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 20, verse number 11, and Moses lifted up his hand and with the rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out and abundantly. The congregation drank and the beasts also. What happened? This Moses He had a temper issue that needed to be cared for. Now, you see it. I mean, it's written down here. Wouldn't it be tragic if your weakness had to be printed in the Bible and you were preached about every week? That happened to Moses. He had a temper issue. And this isn't Judas I'm talking about right now. This is Moses, the most powerful Old Testament leader. He lost it. He went against God. He hit the rock, which the rock pictured Jesus Christ. He hit the rock, and he hits the rock twice. And God said, "Oh, good night, Moses. I've tried to clean you up, boy. I've been trying to help you to be the right kind of leader. What are you doing?" And let me tell you something. Moses didn't stay down. He said, "Well, you know, Pastor, if I could get certain things under control, God might use me." I think that's absolutely true. But let me explain. Moses faced a temper issue. You say, "Well, Moses, yeah, but that's Moses. He was supernaturally created to be a Moses." No, Moses was a man that was created just like you. Not only that, Job was a man of like passions. Old Job, he ends up with a pride issue in his life. Job was, the Bible says, a perfect man and an upright man. He was so great that God bragged on him to the devil. You know, the devil said, "You know, I can go on all the way through throughout the earth and looking for someone." And I love it. God said, "Old Job down there is doing a pretty good job." And Job faced some pretty difficult testings. And Job came through those testings with some flying colors. And then it went to his head a little bit. And he got a little bit cocky. Listen to this verse about Job. In Job 13, verse 14 and 15, it says, "Wherefore do I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in my hand? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him." You notice there's an awful lot of personal pronouns and everything going on there. It's I, my, my, mine, me, I, me, mine, and own. He's got a pride problem at this point in his life. You say, Job was a powerhouse. Job also had a pride issue. He had a like passion. He had a like testing. He had a mountain to climb. You say, "I've got a mountain to climb, preacher. My mountain is pride, but mine's higher than anybody else's." Yours isn't higher than anybody else's. Everybody faces some of that. You say, "Well, I have to work on my temper. I'm climbing that mountain. And there's nobody up here on this terrible mountain of temper like I am." No, there are people all over the place that face the same thing. You say, "But Pastor, I struggle with a little bit of depression, and I've got some depressing times." Well, so did Elijah. But that doesn't stop Elijah from serving God, and it didn't stop Moses from serving God, and it didn't stop Job. Listen, we get to thinking that our issue is going to stop us. It's got to stop us. It doesn't have to stop you. All people face those things, not just you. Abraham had a little problem with some dishonesty in his life. He had a like passion, if you will, of dishonesty. He's called the father of God's people. He left his land, the Bible says, by faith. And by faith he sought a city whose builder and ruler was God. He left all behind and started a journey, not knowing his final destination. What a great act of faith. But on his journey he comes along and he lies about his wife Sarah. And instead of telling people that Sarah is his wife, he starts telling people that Sarah is his sister. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 20, verse number 2, it says, "And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, 'She is my sister.'" He's flat out lied about who his wife was. Like passion. You have an issue with dishonesty? Abraham had a problem with dishonesty. You got a problem with pride? Job had a problem with pride. You have a problem with your temper? Moses had a problem with his temper. I got a problem with some depression and negative thinking. Elijah had some of that problem. But in these cases, it did not stop these people. And these were not supernatural people. These were normal, everyday people. And God used them. You know, God only has sinners to use. That's all He has. Abraham had a dishonesty problem, but God figured out a way to use him, and Abraham figured out a way to be usable. Let's look at Jonah. You all do realize Jonah had his fair share of problems. Jonah had a like passion. He liked to run from God. Probably Jonah was probably, maybe he might have been the greatest evangelist ever. You know, he preached a revival in a city where everybody got saved, over 600,000 people won a revival. God wanted Jonah to preach a revival that would eventually be the greatest revival ever recorded. But Jonah ran from the will of God. God said, go to Nineveh, but Jonah ran from God and got on a ship toward Tarshish. Jonah and the whale is one of the most famous Bible stories in the entire Bible. The Bible says in Jonah chapter 1, verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. What's Jonah's issue? He runs from God. He's a runner. There are people in this room. You're runners. Look, when life's not going well, you don't run away from church. You run into church. You run into God. You don't run away from God. But Jonah, he was a runner. He ran. He ran from God. He ran from the will of God. Well, I'll tell you what, though. He didn't stay in retreat from God. He got himself straightened out. He said, well, you know what, preacher? If I were more like Jonah, I'd have victory in my life. You are like Jonah. Say, well, if I were just more like Abraham, I would do more for God. You are like Abraham. Say, I wish I were like Job or Moses or Elijah, some of those greats from the Bible. You are exactly like them. We are all of like passions. We all are being tempted. We all are being fought by the devil. We all are born again. We all have the power of the Holy Ghost of God available to us. We all can have victory if we want victory. We all can overcome if we want to overcome. Don't you get this idea that all the powerhouses of the Bible, that God gave them a little extra on the side? That didn't happen. And the Bible says that Elijah was as like passions as we are. God was saying, folks, you're all made of clay. You're all created the same way. And you can have victory just like they had victory. And you face some of the same temptations, the same trials. You climb some of the same mountains they must climb. To be honest, I'm encouraged. When I looked at all these great men in the Bible and some of the stupid stuff they did, I'm thinking, man, they're as dumb as me. Noah, James and John, Peter. Hey, did you know something? Samson, he had like passion. He tended to give his attention and strength to the opposite sex. And in a wrong way. Samson was a mighty man of God. Greatest judge who ever judged over Israel, probably. It was said of Samson more than any other man in the Bible, these words, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And then, Mr. Big Shot met his match in a woman named Delilah. Judges 16:17, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. You know what happened? God had given Samson a strength and a power, and Samson ends up giving in to a woman and reduces his power. Let me say to everybody in here, you need to have control over yourself and the opposite sex. If you're married, you're to keep your marriage pure and clean, and you're to have eyes for your husband, and you're to have eyes for your wife, and nobody else. And if you're single, you watch your eyes, and you watch how you control your body until you are married. But Samson had been overcome by a woman. He could kill hundreds with the jawbone of an ass, but was conquered by a little scrawny woman named Delilah, of like passion. Peter had a problem. Peter couldn't control his mouth, and Peter was a cusser. See, he was always the very first apostle mentioned when they were listed in the Bible. We think of Peter, James, and John. Peter's right out front. He was one of the three who were chosen to be with the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was used of God in a powerful way. He was the preacher of the historical Pentecostal revival. And one day he lost it and cussed in the presence of a whole bunch of people. Matthew 26:74 says, "Then began he to curse and swear, saying, I know not the man, immediately, and the cock crew." Here's Peter cussing. You say, "Pastor, I've got a language problem." Well, so did Peter. Saying every once in a while it slips out. Happened to Peter too. I don't think Peter stayed there. You say, how do you know that? It wasn't many months later, Peter was preaching on Pentecost. He had 3,000 people saved, went down in history. He said, well, you know, if I were more like Peter, I would see more victory in my life. You are like Peter. You are. Huh. James and John, they're men of like passion to us, like temptation. And you know, you say, well, what was their issue? They were pretty big on position in life. They wanted position in life. They were two of the 12 apostles, known as the sons of Zebedee. They were called to serve Jesus at the Sea of Galilee. But they wanted a prominent position. They wanted to be exalted. They wanted people to see them. Listen to what it says. In Matthew 20:21 says, and he said unto her, what wilt thou? And this is Jesus speaking to the mother of James and John. And it says, she said unto him, grant these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in the kingdom. Huh. Wanting some preeminence. Have any of you thought about going to God and saying, look, God, you're going to need me on your right hand? But their problem was they were out for position. They wanted exalted. They wanted lifted up. They wanted people to look at them. They wanted to be respected for their leadership. And, you know, in the human race, we can get more concerned about the position that we fill instead of the service that we render. I think that's not right. I don't think that's how it's supposed to be. Folks, we ought to do whatever God needs us to do, whether it's got a title or not. Our greatest title should be servant. But there are times when we get all worried about what's my position and who will see me and what do I get out of this? And really, it's what will Jesus get out of this? And it doesn't matter who sees you. It matters that you serve God. But James and John, they had a like passion. But did you know something? If you went to someone and not tell them the context of my sermon, and I said, let me tell you some really great people in the Bible. How many of you ever heard of James and John and Peter and Samson and Abraham and Moses and Elijah? And how many of you ever heard of Job? You'd all say, whoa, you're really calling the roll. Yeah, I'm calling the roll and telling you about a whole bunch of weaknesses that all those people had. They are people of like passion. But God used them, and they wanted to be used of God. In some cases, they stumbled and they fell, but they got back up, and they didn't stay there. Hey, you know, Noah was a man of like passions. He had a mountain to climb. He had temptations. He had challenges that came upon him. He had testing that came upon him. He was probably, I think, the best man on earth at that time. The man whose family was saved through the flood. The man that God chose to build the world-renowned ark. The one all children sing about. You know, even lost people know about Noah's ark. They even know about Noah. But Noah goofed up. Noah yielded to temptation. The Bible says in Genesis 9:21, it says, and he drank of the wine and was drunken and was uncovered within his tent. In other words, he was naked, running around naked in front of his family because he got so drunk he was out of his mind. Like passion. while we're exalting some of the men in the Bible for the great things that they did, you need to remember something. They were men. They were men. They were human. And that's all God has to use. Human. And don't get yourself all convinced that these are superpowers. Noah was not an angel. Noah was a man. Job was not an angel. He was a man. And he made his mistakes. But thank God, God uses people that make mistakes. And thank God, God can give people victory over those mistakes. Paul was a man of like passions. You know, Paul was guilty of some religious compromise. The best Christian in the New Testament probably was the Apostle Paul. He was used to write 13 books of the New Testament. He was Mr. Theology in the books of the New Testament. He was Mr. Doctrine, if you will. Mr. Bible. He was all about ecclesiastical separation, and I'm for it 100%. He said in his writings, he said, this is what Paul said. You know, Paul had come out of a false religion when he got born again. And he said in his writings, don't ever go back. Don't ever go back to that false doctrine. Don't ever go back to that trashy doctrine. Then he turned around and didn't even listen to his own advice. And he took a Jewish vow. In Acts chapter 21, verse 24, it says, them take and purify thyself and them, and be at charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee are nothing, but that thou thyself also walkest early and keepest the law. What happened is Paul, he went back and he took a religious Jewish vow after he told everybody, don't do that. So he stumbled. There was some compromise at that moment. Now, he didn't stay with the compromise. He got back up. He got himself straightened out. But you say, well, you know what? If I were the Apostle Paul, Pastor, I could teach a Sunday school class someday. You are like the Apostle Paul. You're human. It's what Paul was. None of these people qualify as Savior because they're all sinners. That's all God has to use, is sinners. Hey, you know that Thomas was a man of like passions. He was, you all know what Thomas is known for, right? He's Thomas the what? The doubter. Thomas was one of the 12 apostles. He had spent much time with Jesus and around Jesus. Jesus had been crucified and resurrected. And the disciples were at night church. That's in the Bible. And the Bible says the other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I see in the hands of the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Here is Thomas, the doubter. He is doubting the fact that Jesus Christ had resurrected from the grave. But Jesus had. But boy, you know, most of the time when you hear the term Thomas, we think of someone that was used of God. And by the way, he was. You say, well, Pastor, I struggle with some doubt. So did Thomas. So, Pastor, I struggle with some depression. So did Elijah. So, Pastor, I struggle with my temper some. Hey, so did Moses. Say, Pastor, I've got some in my past. I was attached to a party life, and I struggled some with that. Noah had a problem where he got drunk and had some regrets over that thing too. You say, Pastor, the devil tempts me, and he's all over me to lie and be dishonest. I think Abraham faced some of that as well. You say, the opposite sex, there's a temptation there. Well, you know, Samson faced some of that too. You say, but Pastor, I can't. Well, if they can, you can. You can do it. You can be used of God, by the way. Demas had a problem. Demas had a like passion. His passion was for worldliness. Demas was one of the companions of Paul's. Paul took him when he went on a preaching trip, and he was a part of Paul's missionary team. And somewhere along the way, Demas, he gets himself all deeply attached to the world, and before long, old Demas is saying, "I'm out of here. I'm leaving the evangelistic trail. I'm going to stop being a missionary, and I'm going home." Someone said, "Well, why?" He said, "It's because of his love for the world." Listen to what it says happened to Demas, one of Paul's assistants that traveled with Paul during revival time. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 10. It says, "For Demas hath forsaken me." having loved this present world, do you have an attachment to the world? You just, for some reason, can't get yourself to truly want to be spiritual. You're saved, but you're having a hard time just wanting to be spiritual. You don't mind coming to church and putting on a front for a little while, but really living that at home, really living that at work. So basically at church you're phony, and at home you're what you really are. You struggle with that. Demas did too. Let me tell you something. You don't have to stay there. God only has sinners to use. The Bible says Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. I have to tell you, Barnabas said the same thing. Paul said the same thing. The apostles said the same thing. The Bible says from the book of James about Elijah the same thing. Folks, we face some of the same things. We all face some of the same things. And those men and those people in the Bible, they were not superpowers. They were human beings. Now, I want to make a couple observations, and we're gonna pray, and it won't be long. We'll be gone, young people. I want you to pay attention right up here. First of all, let me tell you this. God used these people who were tempted and tested just like you. Everybody here has your testings. Everybody here has your challenges. Everybody here, you have things that you struggle with. But let me explain. We can find somebody in the Bible that's gone through what some of you have gone through or what you're facing or what you're challenged with. But God used them. God used Elijah. God used Moses. God used Paul. God used Peter. God used Noah. God used Abraham. God used Samson. God can use you. All He has to use are a bunch of sinners. So God can use you. Hey, and not for a moment. If you know my preaching, I'm not condoning you living in your sin. No, I think you ought to knock it off and fly right. But I am here to tell you that God wants to use you. God used those people, and we were calling the roll of some of the spiritual powerhouses in the Bible, but did you happen to notice? They got a lot of weaknesses, and there are a lot of stumbles and a lot of trip-ups in their life. But God used them. They didn't stay there. They didn't want to be there. They didn't want to live like that. But they did face some challenges, just like you, just like me. So first of all, God used these people who were tempted and tested just like us. Secondly, you are not going through anything others don't go through. You're not going through anything that others don't go through. Poor Elijah was underneath a juniper tree whining and saying, "I'm the only one going through this." And God said, "Get up. There's 3,000 people going through the same thing right now." And there are. You're not going through anything others don't go through. Others face some of the same battles you face. And by the way, the only difference is not the battle, it's the attitude of the person that's going through it. And the attitude's not up to the battle. The attitude's up to the person going through the battle. Your attitude's your choice. You want to blame everybody else for your attitude, but your attitude's your fault. So, the general thought is, God used these people that were tempted and tested just like us, so that means we could be used. Then, we're not going through anything that others don't go through. Others face the same type battles we do, biblically, and folks, not just biblically. Right now, there are thousands of people somewhere in this world going through something somewhat identical to you. You're not the only one. Matter of fact, there are people going through worse. There are some people that would love to trade you burdens. They would love to trade you burdens. Thirdly, don't spend all your time feeling sorry for yourself. You're not the only one going through it. Live for God. Do right. Survive the burden. Make it through it. Come out better. You know, I am so glad that Peter, when he lost it publicly, he lied, he denied, and he cussed. I am so glad he got it together. You say, why? It wasn't very long after that, Peter preached the greatest revival in the New Testament, had 3,000 people saved in one day. Historical day of Pentecost, right after he had let his bad part show. So, God used these people, and you're not going through anything that other people have not or are going through right now. So be careful spending all your time feeling sorry for yourself. You need to live for God, and you need to live victoriously. And you say, well, I'm struggling. I hate to tell you this. Everybody in this room is struggling at something. They may not all walk around. Now, there's some, if you ask them how you're doing, they'll tell you. You'll say, oh, I wish I wouldn't ask you. Oh, brother. I mean, they will tell you. But really and honestly, everybody here is going through something, especially if you're teenage age or above. Some of the children, there's a little more protection. They don't always understand, but even some children go through some pretty heavy burdens. But I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to walk very far in this room to find somebody that's got a burden equal to yours. It may not be in the same category as yours right now, but equal to yours. And they've got a good attitude, and they've got a smile on their face, and they're faithful to church, and they're doing right. Remember, it's not the battle that determines the attitude. It's the person that determines their attitude in the battle. And so, God used these people with the same challenges that we face. And we're not going through anything that others are not going through. We need to be careful that we don't spend all of our time feeling sorry for ourselves, but we just need to live for God and get victory and get through this thing. And then let me say this, and finally, don't let your passions or your temptations or your mountains control your future. Do not let the challenges that have come upon your life control and threaten your future. You say, I'm going through it right now. Okay, right now. But you don't have to stay there. Maybe one of these weaknesses that we discussed, you say, I just threw a fit and I've blown it with my temper. Then get it under control and don't let that passionate fit, don't let it be what you are. You say, I've been dishonest and I've done some lying to my family or whatever. Okay, you did, but don't live there. Don't stay there. Don't let your passion, don't let your challenge, don't let that temptation that's come upon you, don't let it become what you are. Look, Moses, he had his issues, but it is not what he became. He did not become his weakness. And honestly, depression. Some of you live depressed and you stay there. Matter of fact, you almost enjoy it. Elijah had a bout with depression, but he didn't stay there. He didn't live there. He didn't want to be there. And God helped him and he helped himself. And Elijah went on and did some powerful, powerful works for God. Don't let your testing become what you are. You become what God wants you to be. So, I'm encouraged when I look at the Bible, and the Bible says that Elijah was a man subject to like passions. God is saying to us, look, Elijah faced some of the same things you face. And Elijah could do it, you can do it, because you are a child of God, just like Elijah was a child of God. If you get knocked down, you get right back up, just like Elijah did. When you get knocked down, you get right back up, just like Peter did. When you get knocked down, you get right back up, just like Moses did. When you get knocked down, you get right back up, like Samson did. When you get knocked down, you get right back up, just like Peter did. And you go out, and you do something for God, but you be careful saying, well, you know what, if I had going for me everything that Elijah had going for him, or Samson had going for him, or Jonah had going for him, you have everything going for you they had going for them. And they face some of the same temptations you face. And victory is as much available to you and I today as it is available in the Old Testament with some of the saints of God. They were just human beings. that wanted to be used of God. And the verse says, Elias was a man subject to like passions. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. First of all, if you're not saved, you need to get born again. The Bible teaches very, very clearly that salvation is necessary for victory in the life. If you died today and you're not sure you go to heaven, you ought to get born again. That's not a religious thing. You need to realize that there's a penalty for your sin and that you're a sinner. And that Jesus Christ paid that penalty with His death, His burial, and His resurrection. He said you're going to need to turn to Him and ask Him to forgive you of your sin, to come into your heart and be your Savior. And if you'll do that, He'll save you. And if you've never done that, I'm not trying to scare you and I'm not trying to be mean to you, but if you've never done that, you're not saved and you're not on your way to heaven. You say, well, but I've given money to the church. I can give all the money you want. That won't save you. Say, well, I did a couple good deeds. I'm glad you did. I hope you do good deeds, but good deeds won't save you. It's trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you've never been saved, you need to get saved. Then the victories of life become available because you have living within you the same God that Elijah had living within him and Samson had living within him. But until then, you're on your own. So failure, you're doomed to fail. But if you get saved, then you have the power available to you that's made available to the children of God. Is there anybody here this morning that would say, Pastor, I'm not saved. Pray for me. I'm not born again. Pray for me. I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. How many of you could raise your hand in testimony and say, if I died today, I know I'd go to heaven. I'm saved and I know it. Would you let God see your hand? You know, if you got to look around the room to figure out whether or not to raise your hand, that's a real, real serious sign. You may put your hands down. Well, if you're not saved, you need to get born again. You need to get born again. If you come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Now let me turn to the Christians because the sermon predominantly today was to God's children. It ought to be an encouragement to you to know that we are all of like passion. We all face challenges. We all face mountain climbing. We all face temptation and passions. And we can all be used of God. Because if those great people that went through the same temptations you and I go through could be used of God, so can you. Now don't let those passions destroy you. Keep fighting. Want to be used of God. But I believe tucked somewhere in the sermon is something that could encourage someone who here this morning would say, Pastor, God has encouraged me. There's been something said today that helps me as I fight the passion even in my life. And who would put your hand up and say, yeah, that God has spoken to my heart specifically. You may put your hands down. We're going to have a brief altar call. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you are saved and you need a moment at this altar, why don't you come? If you've been saved, you've been baptized, you'd like to join the church, you obviously may come. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Thing you face somebody else is facing. Same thing that you're going to face, somebody else has faced it. You can do it. Whether it's a burden or it's a temptation. The devil comes at you with those sinful temptations. You say, I don't know if I can do this. Sure you can. We're all of like passion. If one can have victory, so can you. If one can go through it and have a good attitude, I guess I can go through it and have a good attitude. The burden is not the issue. It's the person going through the burden. That's where the differences come. I am so encouraged to know that Elijah went through some of the things I go through, and Moses goes through them, and Job went through them, and Abraham went through them, and Jonah went through them, and Samson went through them, and Peter went through them, and James and John went through them, and Noah went through it, and Paul went through it, and Thomas went through it, and Demas went through it. They went through some of the same things I went through, but they served God. They served God. You can do it. One more time through the song, Sarah. You say, Pastor, I struggle with some fears. Now, we all struggle with some fears. Pastor, I sometimes get a little panicky. Now, everybody gets a little panicky sometimes. Happens to everybody. It's a like passion in life.